We looked in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 33, the Word of God. I tell you what, let's do. Let's read that together. Let's all read it together. You ready? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's do it one more time. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the instruction that we have in the Word of God. Lord, I remember when my brother got saved and he referred to the Bible as his instruction manual. Lord, that's a good way to look at it. Lord, I praise you tonight for your Word. I thank you, God, tonight that all the prayer requests are dear to your heart. And Lord, there may be even some that collectively we forgot tonight. But Lord, you never forget a one. You're sitting there at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us tonight. God, I pray tonight that you'd make us a blessing to our people. May the thought, our Lord, be a blessing in our hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that even now you'll, Lord, be preparing Sister Sandra and Brother Keith as they come in this weekend. Lord, we're looking for a great time in the Lord. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We looked on Sunday morning at two thoughts, the kingdom of God and His righteousness concerning living, our living. And then the kingdom of God and His righteousness concerning our giving. Giving's a subject that a lot of people don't want to hear about, but it's just a subject that's in the Word of God. And I tell you tonight, if you ever get a hold of what He gave for us, I tell you, giving is something you'll want to do. You want to be involved in. Amen. It's a blessing. But tonight, I want to address, it's all in chapter number 6, the kingdom of God and His righteousness and our forgiving. Our forgiving one another. Our forgiving others. Amen. Along the way. I want to start off kind of on a little bit of a light note tonight, because I was meditating today. I wasn't studying when this came to my mind, but I was just meditating. And this is the thought that came to my mind. Some people are going to go through this whole year with a grudge. They're going to go through this whole year. This is a brand new year. And they're going to carry that grudge, and they're going to carry that bitterness. They're going to harbor those ill feelings. They're going to harbor that unforgiving spirit. And they're going to do that from the beginning of this year to the end of this year. So how can you say a thing like that? Some people's already been doing it for decades. Amen. I'm telling you, it's not good for your health. And it's certainly not good for your spiritual well-being. Amen. To harbor something in your heart. And when that thought went through my mind about going through the year with a grudge, I was reminded about a little story that I heard years ago about this couple. They'd been married for years, and they went to get a divorce. And the judge looked at the man, and he said, "Sir, do you have grounds for divorce?" He said, "Your Honor, I reckon." Said, "We got 40 acres. And he said, "No." And he said, what I mean is, does she beat you up?" He said, "No, sir. I get up before her every morning." And then he said, "Well, do you have a grudge?" He said, "No, but we've got a carport you can put two cars under." But there are a lot of people who got a grudge. Amen. And God wants to instruct us tonight concerning that. The Bible said here, "But seek ye first." And there's a verse or two in Matthew chapter 5 that uses a phrase, that phrase first, that word again. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible said, "You have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rachab, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now, this is what I was after. I wanted to read it in its context. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, look at this word here, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, look at the word, first be reconciled unto thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Tonight, it's going to come up a little bit later in the message, but there's a difference really between forgiveness and reconciliation. In reconciliation, both parties have to be willing. You understand what I mean? In order to reconcile a difference. But you know, in forgiveness, you could forgive someone and they may not want reconciliation. Are you listening to me tonight? Do you see that? And you can't help that. If you've done what God wants you to do, then I believe the Lord wants us to pray for that individual, amen, and look for and long for the day when reconciliation could come about. I want to address it tonight in several ways. The first thing I want to talk to you about tonight is why. Why forgive? And we could say, well, we ought to forgive because God told us to, and that'd be good enough. Amen. But what's on my heart tonight is to say this, why forgive? I tell you tonight, because we've been forgiven. And I'm going to address this in a moment. Amen. Listen, if you've been forgiven tonight, how many remembers how good it was when you realized that the God of heaven, we were guilty of the whole law. We offended in one point, therefore it made us guilty of the whole law. And the God of heaven forgave us. Amen. And what right do we have to refuse to forgive someone else when we have been forgiven so much? And the Bible said in verse 12 of Hebrews 8, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I haven't heard the song in years. I don't think. My memory's not as good as it used to be. But there's an old song that says, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. And I wonder sometimes, and I think that song brings about a good point. Amen. I just, according to that verse right there, when somebody on the inside of me is digging in my past, it ain't the Lord. It's one of two things. It's either my flesh digging in my past, or it's old Slewfoot, because God has forgiven me of that mess. Amen. He's forgiven me of my past. And I thank God for that tonight. So we ought to forgive because we've been forgiven. Now, the Bible said in Colossians, forbearing one another. And that word forbear means to put up with, to bear with, to endure, to forbear, to suffer. Now, y'all ain't going to believe this. I mean, you know that your pastor wears a halo. But there have been times when Miss Eve has just had to put up with me. Now, she ain't here. And I know good and well some of you will tell her. She don't wear no halo either, because there have been times I just had to put up with her. Say amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. It's been a wonderful journey, almost 13 years now. And there's times when we just had to put up with one another. We don't always get it right. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. But I tell you, if we can get it to the cross, we can get it right. Say amen. If we can look up and see what he did for us, that'll help us in our relationship one to another. The Bible said forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Those are plain instructions in the Word of God that tells us about that need to forgive. Spurgeon said this. He said, we incur greater wrath by refusing to forgive than by all the rest of our indebtedness. We incur greater wrath. I remember a statement. I can't remember who said it. I would give them credit or where I heard it. but I remember this well. It said to forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover the prisoner was me. You know, a lot of those grudges that's going to be carried all year out there in the world and many times in the church, amen, they think that other person's the one that's, no, listen, that person that's holding that grudge, that person that has that unforgiven spirit, beloved, listen, and I think it's important to understand that God wants us to see that He's going to help us if we will just look to Him. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew tonight. This is an important passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter number 18. I want to look for a verse of Scripture here. There's something that just sparked my mind. There it is. That's what I thought. I have been studying in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, down through verse number 35. That's where I've been keying in on this thought of forgiveness. And the Lord just reminded me, and it's the very verse before that, that says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And then he takes right off into this law of forgiveness. The Bible said, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now we know that in the Bible, seven is a number of completion. It's a number of perfection. But listen, Jesus said unto him in verse 22, I say unto thee, until seven times, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Listen, I have met some people in this world that would be trying to count to 490. Say amen. So that on the 491st time, they wouldn't have to forgive. Amen. But Jesus has given us this law of forgiveness for a reason. He said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. But when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, listen, your pastor don't know how to figure all this out, so I went to a commentary. And I looked in that commentary, and they said in today's money, that would be between 12 million and $1 billion. In other words, it would take nine times that to cover the fraud in Minnesota. You'll get that after a while. That's free, amen. I don't charge you a dime for it, amen. I tell you, we're in a mess. When you've got mayors and you've got governors that's taken up against the law, on the wrong side of the law, we're in a mess. And honey, I hope and pray it don't come to it, but it can come to a lot bigger mess before it's over with. We need to pray. Amen. Amen. So there, what's being put out here when Jesus is speaking is really, this is a debt that's impossible to repay. You say, now, Pastor, why would you say that? Well, let me give you this. You and I had a debt that was impossible to repay. That, listen, every religion in the world falls under one of two umbrellas. Over here is the umbrella of grace. Over here under the umbrella of grace, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. And over here is the umbrella of works. That's, every religion in the world falls under one of those two umbrellas. Are you listening to me tonight? And these people that are working, they're paying on that debt, they think. Amen. They're paying on that debt. But honey, I like that little plaque that a preacher gave me years ago. Jesus had a debt that He did not owe. He paid a debt that He did not owe because I had a debt that I could not pay. Amen. And that tonight is the truth of the matter. As you go on down here, so this guy's got a debt and he can't pay it. It's impossible. But listen, he said, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. This thing of sin, beloved, this thing of an unforgiven spirit, this thing of a grudge, it don't just affect you. It's going to affect everybody around you. Amen. And I tell you, one of the things that's really sad
is there might be somebody lost watching the whole mess. Amen. And thinking something like this. Well, if that's what it means to be a child of God, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I believe I'll just stay where I'm at. Amen. We're supposed to exemplify that spirit of forgiveness. He said here, he said, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, all that he had, payment to be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Even though, beloved, it's an impossible debt to pay, he's asking his Lord to have patience with him. Put off this sentence of death, amen, for another day. But listen, in verse number 27, and I love this. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. You want to know why that I'm saved tonight? It ain't because I made God a promise or tried to pay on that sin debt. It's because he was moved with compassion. And he went to Calvary and paid the price for me. Amen. On that old rugged cross. The Bible said he was moved with compassion. He loosed him and he forgave him the debt. Now that's a wonderful story, is it not? A debt that's impossible to pay. And yet the Lord, this man's Lord, forgave him. But the same servant, the one, listen, this is what Jesus said. The one that just now was forgiven this impossible debt, listen to what he said. He went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. As far as I can tell, this is not something real small, but it's not something that's insurmountable. This 100 pence would be about 100 days' wages. I don't know about you, but that'd be a pretty good chunk. Amen? And so he owed him 100 days' wages. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. Did you know tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got no right or reason to grab anybody by the throat and tell them to pay what they owe when you have been forgiven of what you've been forgiven of. And amen. Listen, if I'm looking at that right, Brother Brian, the Word of God, he didn't even give him a chance to respond. He just walked up to him and was violent and grabbed him and said, you owe me, you pay me, and you pay me right now. And notice what the Bible said. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him. I don't think there's any accidents here when Jesus is telling this story. And he says the same thing he just said. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The only difference is this man actually could have paid this debt off. And the Bible said he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Now listen, this parable is not given to us so that we could say, this man's saved, this man's not saved. But I saw something when I studied this time that I never thought about before. It could be that, listen, I know that God is not teaching us that an unforgiving spirit is unforgivable. I know that's not what he's teaching us, amen? But I tell you what I believe he could be teaching us, that if you've been forgiving, you're going to have a forgiving spirit. And if you don't have a forgiving spirit, maybe you better check up and make sure you've been forgiven. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe tonight, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It'll show up in our living. It'll show up in our giving. And it will show up in our forgiving one another along the way. The Bible is teaching us here we ought to forgive because we've been forgiven. The Bible said here from his heart. Let me show you this tonight. Where is this verse at? Right here. And his Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Look at verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Everyone his brother their trespasses from the heart. You say, Pastor, why is that important? Because I believe sometimes, listen to me, that something maybe comes out of the mouth, but it's not meant in the heart. You say, how can you tell that, preacher? How can you tell when somebody says, well, I forgive you? I tell you how you can tell. You can tell 6 months later when another little rift comes up, and the first thing that comes up is what happened back yonder. Amen? This is silly. Some of you have heard it. I went to preach at a Valentine banquet. A Valentine banquet. We had just finished filling our bellies with good food. And I was preaching on forgiveness in that Valentine banquet. And I tell you what I used for an illustration. A cow pile. When you get in an argument, amen, you have a disagreement, it's just like stepping in a fresh cow pile. It squirts up between your toes. It don't smell good. You want to get it off. Amen? But listen to me. Here's what happens when the forgiveness is not genuine, when it's not from the heart. It crusts over. How many's ever stepped on a cow pile that was crust over? But underneath the crust, it's just as fresh as it was. How many, are you with me? But let me tell you something about that cow pile. If you'll leave it alone, if there's genuine forgiveness and you'll leave it alone, you know what it'll do? It'll turn into fertilizer. It'll make your relationship better than it ever was. Amen. Listen, how many believes when Joseph got done, I didn't mean to say this good, when Joseph got done with his brothers, I'm telling you, their relationship was better than it ever had been. He forgave his brothers for what they'd done to him. Amen. You and I might have had a different thought in mind. Them brothers was trembling. When daddy died, what's he going to do? Oh, he said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive this day. Amen. A lot of times, listen, we don't know what we have in a relationship until that relationship is tested. The devil definitely means it for evil, but God can turn it around in his face and use it for good. It's important for us to understand that there's a distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation. True reconciliation of relationship, we mentioned this a while ago, can only happen when both parties are agreeable. And this may require repentance on one or both of the parties in the conflict, yet forgiveness can be one-sided. This is something that I've not seen it a lot, but it's wonderful to see. Have you ever seen somebody go to somebody and I mean, maybe it's went on for months. Maybe it's went on for years. And they go to somebody and say, I need you to forgive me. And this is what, and the next thing, no, I need you to forgive me. It's beautiful. So, no, now they're fighting over who to forgive who. Amen. I mean, knows I'm right about that. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. And reconciliation takes place. Amen. And there's more than just that outside. The hearts are right with God and right with each other. So the first thing was, why forgive? Because we've been forgiven. The second reason tonight, how many of you know that when a person gets saved, the blessed Holy Spirit takes up his abode in our heart? Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you one just like me. Why forgive? Listen to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30. The Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I tell you why, number 2, because if we don't, it grieves the Lord. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Let me say something. You all, listen. I believe it's going to be scary one day in the day of judgment, when we're going to find out that maybe the reason God didn't work in somebody's heart the way God wanted to work in somebody's heart. How many of you preachers have preached in a service, or Brother Caleb sung in a service, where things were tight? I mean, good night, it looked like you could cut it with a knife. It was so thick. Are you with me? Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day coming when we're going to find out that the Spirit of God didn't have his way. because there was something going on out there. Amen. He was grieved. Amen. It could have been a husband and a wife. It could have been two brothers in Christ or two sisters in Christ. It could have been a teenager and their mom and dad. I'm just telling you, it's important tonight that we forgive one another just like God told us to do, because if we don't, it grieves Him in His heart tonight. And He won't work in our midst the way that He wants to work if we're carrying that grudge and having that unforgiving spirit with someone else. If we would, it would be wrong to say that it's unforgivable if we don't forgive. But I tell you, I do believe it's true that forgiveness is really evidence when we're able to forgive that we've been forgiven. I wanted to share something with you tonight, and that is this little story. It said, the man I ate dinner with tonight killed my brother. The words spoken by a stylish woman at a prison fellowship banquet in Seattle, it amazed me. She told how that John H. had murdered her brother during a robbery, served 18 years at Walla Walla, then settled into life on a dairy farm where she had met him in 1983. 20 years after his crime, compelled by Christ's command to forgive, Ruth Youngsman had gone to her enemy and pronounced forgiveness. Then she had taken him to her father's deathbed, prompting reconciliation. Some wouldn't call this a success story. John didn't dedicate his life to Christ, but at the prison fellowship banquet last fall, his voice cracked as he said, Christians are the only people I know that you can kill their son and they'll make you part of their family. I don't know the man upstairs, but he sure is hounding me. That's what we need. Listen, we don't call him the man upstairs. That was a man that didn't know the Lord that said that. You understand? But we need the Lord to be hounding people. And we can get him hounding people when we're right with him. But we can't be right with him if we're not right one with another. Amen. Oh, you preach messages like this. Somebody's sitting there thinking, what's that preacher know? It ain't what I know that counts. It's what God knows. Amen. It's all right there. Seek ye first in our giving, in our living, and in our forgiving. Amen. It's all right there in the chapter. I praise the Lord for it. Why forgive? Because if we don't, it grieves the Spirit of God. I'll tell you tonight, how many's been saved more than 20 years? I know you ain't, Tyler. You ain't been saved 20 days, hardly. Amen. Amen. How many's ever grieved the Lord? How many remembers when you broke through, or actually he broke through? Crushed your heart. Tears. Boy, y'all think I'm crazy if you want to. I just went downstairs yesterday. Our heat pump was tore up, so we got a gas heater on the wall downstairs. So we just let the fan running and letting it circulate the warm air. And so help me, all I done was went down there to turn it up a little bit. And I took my hands and went like that right there. Boy, that's something got warmer than my hands. Oh, God warmed my heart. And I began to stand there and pray. Thank God that I'd never go to that awful place called hell. Amen. And thank God for my brothers. Begin to pray. Many of the prayer requests tonight. Just listen, I didn't go down there to pray. I just went down there to adjust the heater. But I tell you, I got adjusted while I was down there. Amen. You ever get adjusted? I'm not talking about a chiropractor. I'm talking about the Savior. He'll make some adjustments in our life, won't he? Amen. Thank the Lord for that tonight. So we need to forgive because it grieves the Lord if we don't forgive. I think there was another thing I wanted to give you tonight. Not only why forgive, because we've been forgiven, and because if we don't, it grieves the Spirit. But how is it possible to forgive? You ever think about that? You ever think about that? How this lady in this story here that forgave that man that killed, how could she do that? How could a person do that? Well, I've got a verse of scripture that I think explains it. Y'all remember the Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, there's a man, he's committing incest with his stepmother. And they're allowing it to go on in the church. You remember that? 2 Corinthians, that man repents. And now the church is not going, they're not willing to forgive him and bring him back into the fellowship. Are you listening to me tonight? I've said for years, I believe there's extremes in church discipline. Some people are just trying to run somebody off. And then over here's another extreme, anything goes. Ain't nothing going to be said about it, amen? But in the middle, we can get with God. And church discipline's not to get rid of somebody. It's to get them back in fellowship with God. Get them back in fellowship with the church. It ain't to run them off. It's to help them, amen? Listen, you want to see church discipline? Read John chapter 21 when Jesus fixed them fish for Peter. Yeah, he was getting it, wasn't he? But it wasn't to run Peter off. It was to get him ready to preach on the day of Pentecost, amen? Get his heart right, amen? Listen to me tonight. How do we do it? Well, listen to 2 Corinthians 2:10. Here's what Paul said. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. When there's any genuine, Brother Brian, if you wrong me or I wrong you, and there's really genuine forgiveness and I've forgiven you, you've forgiven me, and maybe reconciliation too, you don't get no credit for that. And I don't either. It's that one that lives down on the inside of us. Matter of fact, you can say what you want to, but every one of us has still got that old man. That old man ain't interested in forgiveness. That old man wants to carry that grudge, amen? Or carport either one, amen? But that new man wants to be right this way and right that way. And I'm a firm believer we can't be right that way and be wrong this way. Amen. What did the Bible say over there? We're talking about husbands, I think, and wives. I think it was in the book of Peter. I might be wrong. But he said that your prayers be not hindered. Huh? It's in there. I'm not sure about whether it's Peter or not. But it's in there. I'll show it to you if you don't believe me. It's in there. In other words, there ought to be that forgiving spirit, because if there's not, our prayers are going to be hindered. Amen. And so, how is it possible to forgive? It's possible through Christ. Philippians 4:13, and I close with this tonight. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't know, before I studied this time, God brought that verse to my mind, if I've ever thought about forgiveness in light of that verse. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He can give me the strength, amen, to put up with Vince. Amen. He gave it to Christy, so why not give it to me? Amen. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?